And I get all these memories that come back. I mean, they come back to my to me as we go throughout it. I mean, when I was a kid, it meant special presents, but it also meant special people would come to my house. We were sharing in Sunday school today about traditions we're putting in place in our home. And at my house, my mother had the dining room, but then she would angle the other table out into the living room and around the corner to the den, because we'd end up having as many as 25 or 26, maybe. I think one time we did have 30 people come for Christmas, and we all ate, and children. Back then, we didn't have boosters, so everybody sat on encyclopedias. Anybody had Christmas, with, right? Sitting on a, that was as close as I was ever going to get to a dictionary back then. And we had wonderful times. I remember special food that my mom would make. I remember special plates. Did your mama have special plates that only came out, you know, the one with the gold rim around the edge? And you know, as I get older, Christmas takes on new meaning. I still enjoy special people and special presents, and I still get to use my mom's special plates. And sometimes we think of Christmas as feasting and football and fun, and it is. It is. It's fun because we're with people. And this time of the year, as we've talked about, that people are a little friendlier and a little more understanding. But you know, more than that, Christmas tells me that God had a plan for me. I got saved October 9th, 1990. I was 23 years old. I loved Christmas back then for the reasons I mentioned: special people, special food, special presents, special plates, special things, decorations. But on the day I got saved, I realized what John 3:16 meant, that God so loved me that he gave. The first Christmas present was a baby that came to die for me. And John 3:16 is Christmas in one verse. It's literally the Bible in one verse. But it told me that God had a plan. Look at Galatians 4 again. But when the fullness of time was come, when everything was the way the Lord needed it to be in the world, he sent Jesus. It's interesting. Right after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, he could have sent Jesus. And he could have, but the timing wasn't right. God sent forth his son, made of a woman. He had to be human. He had to be able to identify with us and reconcile us with God. Made under the law. He was the only human being that had come and was sinless and lived a sinless life. And the law and the devil had no claim on him. Why? Because he did not have any sin to redeem them which were under the law. He could represent God to man, and as man, he could represent us to God. When the world was ready, God sent him to redeem us. That's the reason he came. You know this, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Luke 19:10 says, "For he came to seek and to save that which was lost," which was me. Christmas had a brand new meaning for me in 1991, because I got saved in 90, but I didn't really pay attention. But in 91, I'd been faithful in church by that time, and I was reading my Bible every day, and all of a sudden, Christmas came alive. You know, God had a plan that I would trust Christ as my Savior. See, the Bible tells you the story of Christmas, but it also tells you the significance of it. It presents Christmas from the viewpoint of history, but it also presents it from the viewpoint of theology. The Bible gives us the literal account of a young man and a young woman get married and go to Bethlehem. She's pregnant with God himself, and they had to ride on a donkey. They had to go all that way. Those were the literal accounts, but yes, the Bible goes on to give us the spiritual account here in Galatians 4. When everything was right, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, in fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, made under the law to redeem them. That's us. John, you understand, Matthew and Luke gives us the gospel from earth's perspective. But John, in John 1, gives us heaven's perspective. See, Christmas was not the idea of the candy makers and toy makers. Christmas was not from the retailers. It was born in the heart of God before he even laid the foundation of the world. That's what it says. From the foundation of the world. That's what Ephesians 1 says. From the foundation, before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Look, not everything in life is convenient. And some of you, really, it wasn't very convenient for you to get up and come today, but you did. And you're about to, maybe some of you are traveling. It's not going to be all overly convenient, but to God be the glory, he's still in control. God knows what you're going through. In Luke chapter 2, it says, it came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed. Do you think God didn't have a hand in that? Mary and Joseph were like any other young couple who were expecting a baby. They were in Nazareth, and she probably had a little section of their house set aside as a nursery. They probably knew mom was going to come and help give birth. Some of the other women in the community were going to come and help her birth. That was what she had. She had a birth plan like any other young couple would have. But God had a different plan. And because the wickedness of a king thousands of miles away, God turned his heart and said, why don't you tax the whole world? And he said, all right. Not everything in life is easy, but to God be the glory, there was a donkey. She didn't have to walk 60 miles. I'm sure it wasn't overly, I'm sure there wasn't we call it an all leather seat, you know what I'm saying? But I doubt she had reclining and vibrating and heated seat. Maybe it was a heated seat. If the blanket wasn't too thick, it's probably heated sitting on there. But she didn't have to walk. Not everything in life is ideal, but to God be the glory, there was a stable. There was a stable she could get in out of the cold. Luke chapter 2 and verse 6. Then so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. You know, we celebrate Christmas because God's plans came to pass in the past, and it gives us the hope for the future. When it was right, when the timing was right, God sent his son to redeem us. I've come to give them life and that more abundantly, Jesus said in John 10:10. Christmas means so much more to me now than it did when I was a kid. You know, besides John 3:16, there's another verse of the Bible that sums up the entire Bible, and that's 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. If you've got your Bible handy, follow along. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, for he, that's God the Father, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, for God the Father, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For God the Father hath made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin. That's Jesus, who was sinless, that we, the sinners of this world, might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, God's plan wasn't just to come to earth, although he did accomplish that. God's plan wasn't just to live a sinless life, but he accomplished that. And it wasn't just to die in our place, although he accomplished that. And it wasn't just to rise again or to ascend into heaven, because he did all of those things. But Christmas was fulfilled in my salvation. The day you got saved, Christmas was fulfilled. That was the point of why he came. God planned that I'd recognize myself as a sinner. The Bible says in Isaiah 53:3 that there's none good. No, not one. You realize that was the toughest concept for me. It really was. The toughest concept for me personally was that I was not good. And I thought to myself, well, if you only knew how special I am, you know, you wouldn't think. No, I that was the hardest hurdle for me was to overcome was the fact that I was a sinner. You realize I was baptized as a baby, confirmed when I was 12, and I'd never killed nobody. Right? I mean, I'm pretty good, right? That's pretty good. Not everybody can say that. Right? I thought I at least had a leg up there. You know? No. No, 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 no. You understand? God planned that I would recognize myself a sinner. Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep, all we. There's nobody outside all, and all there is all. There's no thing outside of all. All we like sheep have gone astray. Right. For what? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. That was a hard pill for me to swallow. But it was God's plan that I recognize myself as a sinner. That I would take the witness stand against my own soul and testify that God was righteous and that I was a sinner. Isaiah 64:6 says, I am as an unclean thing. That all of my righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And because of that, death was pronounced upon me. And I needed to get to that place. Listen, when you're talking to your family and your friends about Christmas and what it means to you, don't shy away from the fact that their greatest need was a savior, not an educator. Their greatest need was a savior, not an economist. You understand that? The greatest need was a savior, not a general to lead the world in political peace. You understand this? It was God's plan. That's what, when I got saved at first, I really didn't understand it because I was like just a couple of months away from Christmas when I got saved. But then in the summertime, I got into church and I started reading my Bible every day. And by the time we got to Christmas, wow. It was always God's plan that I would recognize myself as a sinner. Have you participated in God's plan? Where were you when you participated in it? Have you recognized that you need a Savior? You know, it was also God's plan that I would not only recognize I needed a Savior, but that I would repent. I would turn to Him and recognize that I'm a sinner and that what I do is sin, but He is the one who's righteous. To turn to Him. See, the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, He wasn't willing that I should perish, but that I would come to repentance. Repentance is a command. Acts 17 says, commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And without this, I would die. You understand it? I would be separated from God. It's not just enough to recognize you're a sinner and you're not perfect, but turning to God, otherwise you die. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Jesus said in Luke 13, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It was His plan for me not only to recognize my sinfulness. You realize, when you start to grasp how holy God is, it becomes really apparent how sinful the person sitting next to you is. Of course, you might want to help them with that. No, I'm just kidding. All of us. Right? And listen, it was God's plan that I repent. Have you done that? Have you participated in God's plan? It was God's plan that I would be forgiven. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, Isaiah 1 tells us. Though red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you realize that even though I'm a sinner, all of my sin was forgiven. Forgiven. You know, not everything in this life that you and I experience is so easily forgiven. Yet what we have done against God is so much worse, and they are yet still forgiven. See, it goes back to that point where we think to ourselves we're better than we really are. See, God, what does Christmas mean? Well, that I would realize I'm a sinner and that I would repent and that I would be forgiven, that I would be cleansed. All of my past, my present, and my future would be cleansed. It's not like I didn't ever sin before. It's the fact that it's been forgiven. It's been atoned for. My cleansing would be because of the blood of Christ. That's what 1 John 1:7 tells us. That it's the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. That's why He had to die. It's not enough that He came as a baby. It's not enough that He lived sinlessly. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The Bible says He had to come and die. But you know, it wasn't just that I'd be forgiven. You know, we think to ourselves, well, now that I'm saved, now what? Well, God has a glorious plan for your now. Right. You understand that? Our hope is in the sweet by and by, but God didn't leave you alone during the nasty now and now. He has a hope for you right now. That's what Christmas means. It says in John 10:10, I've come to give them life and that more abundantly. I was born again. That's what John 3 tells us. I'm made new. I have a new life. Yes, I'm a sinner. Yes, and I have that sin nature, but now I have the nature of Christ. I actually will never be alone again. I hear His voice in my spirit. I hear Him when I read the Bible. You know, God doesn't do guilt, by the way. Some of you may be dreading going back home for Christmas or New Year's because of some of the things you've said. some of the things you did, or the fact that you didn't do something that was expected, and you feel a little guilty, or you feel like they're going to dump the guilt on you. Let me tell you something. God don't do guilt. You understand that, right? Amen. God don't do guilt. You say, well, I felt sorry for my sin. That's conviction. That's a different thing. Guilt is based on their perception of what things ought to be. No, no, no. Conviction is my sin versus God's holiness. And my forgiven sins will never, ever, ever, ever be remembered again by God. See, that's the hard part of going home for the holidays is people remember you B.C., before Christ. Right? They remember. Remember that time when we did such and so and you said, here, hold my beer, and then you did that, and da-da-da-da, and that's why you have that scar on your head. And, right? And they always want to remind you. Why? Because lost people only have nostalgia. That's all they have. Do you understand? I was standing in Dunkin' Donuts yesterday. I did not get a donut, but it doesn't matter. All that sugar just magically, oh, I could feel it coming through the pores of my skin. And you still do it, right? Huh? Yeah. I couldn't work there. I really couldn't. But I'm standing next to this gentleman, and we just started talking. Turns out he's a Christian, too. And I felt so close to him, and we just chatted for a minute and wished each other a Merry Christmas and shook hands and gave us one of those guy hugs. Hey, man, you know? Girls hug differently than guys do, right? And there's a reason. But guys go, hey, you know, right? I have a bond with this person. Why? Because we're both saved. We both remember the day our sins were washed away. And we can be excited about the fact God ain't going to bring it up no more. That's worth shouting about, y'all. God planned to save you. God planned to not only forgive you, but to forget your sin. He sealed you by the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13 tells us. And then he hid you in Jesus Christ, Colossians 3:3 tells us. And so let me ask a question. Have you participated in God's plan? Maybe you've got a secret Santa at work and you've participated in that plan. And you've got a cookie exchange in your neighborhood, and you've participated in that plan. Have you participated in God's plan for you? That's what Christmas is about. This is the reason for Christ, and the reason we celebrate. Why? Because that life was not just a washing away of our past and our mistakes, and it's also a new life that would be eternal. You realize you'll never perish. I understand relationships break on this earth. But God doesn't throw you away. Jesus said in John 6 and verse 37, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's no line you can cross. Oh, there's a line at work that you can cross and you're out on your ear, right? Right? You can be irritated, but you don't go into the boss's office and beat on his desk and get in his face. You don't do that. That's a line you don't cross. There's a line you don't cross at home. There's a, right? Okay, only Brother Jim and I have a line at the house that we can't cross. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, well, just tell your wife. I go, dude, I do not tell my wife anything. Why? What do you mean? She knows where I sleep, man. I don't order my wife to do anything. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. But no, I don't. You think it's all sweet next? No. Anyway, let's get back to the sermon. My life is eternal. I'll never be separated from God again. I'll never be condemned because I believed. And he will not cast me away. He will not throw me away. As broken and messed up and broke down, I was telling the Sunday school class, you know, my dad, he used to just kind of shuffle like this when he'd walk. Then I realized I got a bad right knee, a bad left hip. I got a tore up shoulder and arthritis in my left hand. And I was walking out to the car like this. I'm like, yeah. As broke down as this old man gets, I will never again, ever be thrown away. I can't walk away. My life is eternal with God now. Nothing because I didn't do anything. It's not about the naughty or nice list. It's about what God planned Have you participated in God's plan? This is our hope. You realize we need to teach our kids it's not about earning heaven. It's not about earning God's blessing. It's not about the naughty or nice list. It's about the fact that you were it was God's plan to save you if you just trust Him. God planned this new life as a result of what Jesus did for us on Calvary. He came, He lived that sinless life, but it's what He did on Calvary that saves us. The fact that He rose again, it gives Him the ability to defeat death and save us for eternity. It's not my own works. So when we celebrate Christmas in the present, it's because God's plan in the past has come to pass, and it is our hope for the future. The word hope is defined as me expecting God to do me good and not evil all the days of my life. That I expect Him to follow through on His plan. That's my hope. That I'm claiming God's promises. I'm taking God at His word. There used to be a time when men's words meant something. When you could shake hands and it was binding. And men, even if they didn't understand it all and they realized it wasn't going to work the way they thought, they still follow through because they said they would. See, it was God's plan and He's going to keep it. It's not me who keeps this. It's God. You know, it was God's plan we'd be in heaven as our eternal home. Jesus said it in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Remember that? Many mansions. You remember that verse? I love that verse. It's going to be exciting. I don't know what kind of house you live in down here, but Jesus said His Father is adding on to the mansion upstairs for you. He said He would come and receive us unto Himself. Did you know there is a store in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, that's Christmas year-round? You ever been to the Christmas store? It's always Christmas in Gatlinburg. That's what it says right there on the door, always Christmas. Do you realize it's always Christmas in heaven? It's always Christmas in heaven. Why? Because it's our home. You understand? Everybody in heaven is at home this year for Christmas. They're at home. You and I will be home. When we pass or when the rapture happens, we'll be home for Christmas. It's always Christmas in heaven because Jesus is there. I go to prepare a place for you, and when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It's always Christmas in heaven because Jesus is there and we are at home. It's Christmas in heaven because our loved ones are there. This year, a couple of my boys can't be home. It's going to be weird for the first time in our lives. Our boys aren't home for Christmas. You know what that's like. Some of you have been deployed overseas. Some of you have been on special duty. And some of you have just, you couldn't get the time. You know what it's like. But you know, heaven, it's always Christmas because our loved ones are home and they're with us. And it says in 1 Thessalonians 4, so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's always Christmas in heaven because God's glory is there. There's no lights, there's no electricity, there's no light bulbs or candles because the Lord Jesus Christ lights it all. It's always Christmas in heaven because the joy of the Lord is there. In Psalm 16 and verse 11, the Bible says, in thy presence is the fullness of joy. The happiest memories. I remember my dad and I taking that old blue Chevy pickup truck and going to the Christmas tree farm. You ever go to a Christmas tree farm? Oh, my soul. We'd cut down the biggest tree you could find. I mean, just got limbs everywhere because we had 14-foot ceilings. We lived in a gas station, all right? So we had this, and it was like a restaurant and a gas station, 14-foot ceilings. We'd go get the biggest stinking tree we could find and drag it home. And my mother would always say the same thing. Tom, how are we ever going to decorate that? Because my dad was like this tall. And he said, well, I'll just get a ladder. And I have wonderful memories in that old gas station. Just wonderful memories. But the truth is, it's always Christmas in heaven. Because the Bible says that heaven's better than my best memories. My best memories. For it is the fullness of joy. You see, your loved ones in heaven are not in a better place. They're in the very best place. You understand that? There's no greater place for Nana and Papa. You understand that? There's no greater. And by the way, they're not grandparents. They're your grandparents. I understand that. But they're young and healthy. It's heaven. It's Christmas. Have you participated in God's plan? This was always what he had in mind. You can sum up all the Bible in this concept. Christmas. Christ came, made sin, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. God's plan wasn't just to live a sinless life and die as our substitute and rise again. That, he did that, but that wasn't just his plan. Christmas was fulfilled the day I got saved. Christmas was fulfilled the day you got saved. Amen. Have you let God fulfill his Christmas wish? You know, the Bible says that there is rejoicing in heaven. More so when one soul converts and trusts Christ as their Savior. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. Now, it says the presence of the angels because it's not the angels who rejoice. It's the loved ones in heaven and God the Father who rejoices. Do you understand that? All that heaven rejoices. Now, when my mom died, bless her heart, we were emptying out her apartment and she had just drawerfuls of sweaters and sweatshirts we'd bought her over the years. Because my parents were the toughest people to shop for. Can I get an amen? Huh? Your mom and dad are tough. How would you buy somebody who's got everything and needs nothing? And you think, what's she going to do with this? Another necklace. Oh, thank you. Another scarf. You know what I mean? How many pairs of leather gloves my dad, dress gloves my dad had, and matching scarves, you know what I'm saying, and ties, and my mother could have been, she actually one day cleaned out my dad's closet and made a quilt out of all the ties dad had, you know what I'm saying? Huh. You think to yourself, well, my parents are in heaven, or my grandparents who love me are in heaven. You can still give them a gift today. The gift of joy because you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. They're watching. The Bible says we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. No one in heaven looks down at you with condemnation. No, they cheer you on in the stands as you take your lap around this life, and you can yet give them joy. You can yet minister to them. How? By fulfilling God's plan. Stop playing the game and trust the Lord as your Savior. You understand this might be your first Christmas without mom or dad. Some of you in here are facing the holidays, and it's going to be a little extra tough because you're missing someone you love. But nothing is lost if you know where it is. And better than getting an Amazon present in the mail, how many of you got one of those? Huh? You open it up, and it's from so-and-so, and it's wrapped there. Isn't that great? You can send a gift wrap to heaven by trusting Christ as your Savior. That's the only present they want. It's the only present they need. And there's no greater gift. And everyone in heaven will rejoice with them if you'll let Christmas be fulfilled in you today. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you died today and you're not sure heaven's your home, you can resolve that. You can fulfill that by trusting Christ. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you'll just pray along with me, dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I know that you died in my place, that Christmas is the reason And Father, today I ask your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died and rose for me. Thank you for saving me, because I believe. Dear Heavenly Father, in the next few moments, I ask God, please, you'd give people the courage to share that today was their first Christmas, truly. Those that have trusted Christ, And Father, today, for those that are hurting because this is their first Christmas without their loved one, comfort their hearts and fill them with the joy of knowing that their loved one is with you and it's Christmas in heaven. And Father, for those that are here today just seeking the truth, Father, looking for a place where they can grow, God, speak to their heart today. Lift their burdens. Fill them with joy that we may tell others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you've trusted Christ, come, let's pray together, you and I. Let me rejoice with you. If you're here and you've got a burden and you're sorrowful, come, let's pray and seek the Lord today. God will answer as she plays.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin?
Thank you.
Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for
burdens.
Joy. From the ashes a new life is born. Jesus is calling. Come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ.
God will lift your burdens if you let Him. If you'll take them to Him. There's a lot of uncertainty in all of our lives, but God is there. And this can last year round. As we give ourselves afresh and anew each day to the Lord, our trust is in Him, not in ourselves. Our Heavenly Father, we love You. And Father, as we go from this place, let us take the joy of your plan, of Your Christmas, of the purpose for sending Christ to the world. May God, we take that with us and give it to everyone we come in contact with. Father, please lift the burdens that are in here today. Restore the joy. And Father, we'll praise You for all that You do. In Jesus' name, amen. This time, I'm going to ask Brother Bruce to come give us some announcements before we're dismissed. Tell them about tonight, brother. Come on.
All right, so tonight we are having our candlelight service. That's at 5:30. It'll be a place at 5:30, and it's an amazing experience. If you haven't participated in it, just encourage you to come out. It is worth stopping by the church on a Sunday evening. There's no Awana for this week and next week. I will say that on the opening night of Awana, January 7th, at 5:30 p.m., we're having what's called a Kingstown 101. So we're going to tell you who we are, what we're all about. So if you're new, maybe even if you've been here a while and you want to get it all condensed in a format of who this church is, what we believe, and get all your questions answered, that'd be great. So we're launching Kingstown 101 January 7th at 5:30. On January 13th, there's going to be a ladies' fellowship and Bible study on that Saturday from 9 a.m. to 10:30 called Sister Life. I think that was a Sister Pants. Was it? All right. It's not that. It's Sister Life, and it's amazing. And then we still have time to sign up for the Men's and Ladies Prayer Advance. That in two is an incredible experience. Over to you to close this out. Close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for the message and the messenger, just to remind us what this is truly all about, God. And we just pray that you anchor our hearts on the true focus of this season, Lord. And as we enjoy time with one another in fellowship, we pray that all of it glorifies you and glorifies Jesus Christ. And God, we pray that the meditations of our heart, that it glorify you, Father, in all ways. Be with us as we go about our week. And in Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.